Hi everyone and welcome to the 65th episode of Praticamente Inglese. I hope you're doing well, guys. We are back. I'm back with the second part of the interview with Professor Frontoni. Very interesting. We were talking about blockchain, NFTs, metaverse, and all this new world, which is already here. So I'm trying to explain this world through Mr. Frontoni, which is a very skilled professor of computer science at the University of Macerata. So if you didn't have the chance to listen to the first part, I would suggest you to stop right now, get back to episode number 64, listen to the first part, and then get back here. So I would like also to remind you to follow Praticamente Inglese on Spotify, on or Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, and so forth. So you will get notified as soon as I release the new episodes. I will be back in September with new episodes, new interviews. I'm trying to bring value to all of you. If you have any suggestions, just let me know. Maybe on LinkedIn, you can write me a DM. And I'm very happy because we are building a great community. And I'm sorry again if I was not so consistent during the last months, but I will get back as soon as possible. So in September, you will have new episodes and new things that we need to improve English. And I'm trying to help you out with this. What else? I just stopped the conversation last time and I will get back to press play exactly where we left. So have a great holiday. I know that we are in the middle of August and quite a lot of you are on holiday. So have a great holiday and I'll see you in September. Have a great one, guys, and enjoy the second part of the interview with Professor Frontoni. The interesting thing about this is, from my perspective, is that, as you said, in 10 years' time, we will own real assets, like a house, a phone, but we will own also digital assets because we would like to own that particular piece of art, or we want to own that particular shoes in that particular game or in this particular metaverse. And it's very interesting. I was reading about, also tickets, tickets to go to an event. Let's put it this way, that you going to an event that for some reason is going to be an amazing event in history. I don't know. I think about the huge concert of Michael Jackson somewhere in the 80s. Let's put it this way, no? And you own the NFT, which was a ticket, so you can demonstrate that you were there, first thing first, and then for collectibles, for people that collect things, maybe someone will buy that NFT, that ticket, because he wants to own that ticket. It's already there because there's a lot of people that are buying tickets, like paper tickets of concerts, or there are a lot of people that collect things. No, so you bought an NFT to go to the concert, but one day you can resell that ticket because we'll have a value. Previously was like, I'm going to buy the ticket, I'm going to the concert, I had a fantastic night, and that's it, the money's gone. Now you have the chance, if I understood well, to get value out of that ticket or that piece of art or that particular NFT. Is that correct?
Yeah, totally correct. And also we can imagine that we will have a lot of mix of the marketing styles. So you will buy a real shoes, pair of shoes, and you will have a virtual pair of shoes for free. And this is one of the things that everyone is testing now. So you will be in the real concert of Jovanotti, and you will have access to also to a special content from Jovanotti in the metaverse. Okay. And again, right now, I'm trying to buy a piece of land on the central land for a company. This company wants to start a showroom on the metaverse. And we are looking for the lowest price. We are there day by day. We are saying, no, I will never pay 20,000 euros for a piece of land on the metaverse because this is the value now. Okay. And we are asking for a small discount on that.
And one day, maybe that piece that you bought for 20,000 will have a value of maybe 2 million. Who knows? Yeah. But it's kind of a bet. So you are, I don't want to say it's gambling, because a lot of people say that this is scam. No, because, you know, there's a sort, the media as well are not very, how can I say, they are not very committed to let people know about this world, I think. Because every time I read something about the metaverse, about NFTs and things like that, the people, you know, the article is always saying that money has been stolen, something happened bad about it. So there's a lot of people that are not trusting this world. But as you mentioned, and then you are a person working into this field, is that there's a lot of brand investing in those metaverses, in NFTs and things like that. So it's kind, someone said, it's like when internet started in 1994, 95, the first time, and everyone was saying, oh, e-commerce, who is going to buy a pair of shoes on internet? It's going to be crazy. How can you make sure that shoes will fit you? So something so stupid, you know? And now everybody is buying on internet, you know, like it's normal. So would you think it's going to be the same for this kind of things as well in 10-20 years from now?
Totally the same, and you are not only to trust on me, but you have to only read about some global studies that are looking for the future of technology and for the future of marketing, and you will see that everyone is quite sure that we will move forward on this direction.
Okay. I had another couple of questions for you, Prof. And one was, we already kind of answered to some of those, because I was about to ask you about why we need to use cryptocurrencies to buy and exchange those assets. And you replied perfectly, because it's everything is decentralized. Each of those different markets, let's put it this way, have their own cryptocurrency. So we need to first exchange euro, in this case, with this particular cryptocurrency. And then with that cryptocurrency, we can buy things in this digital world. So you kind of explained that. And also, how many metaverse you mentioned already about it, and the different metaverse we have, and the differences, which one is most popular? You said at the end of the day, it really depends. And at the minute, the Decentraland is very huge, but there is going to be maybe a few more coming in the market. There are different kind of metaverse that could be that will arrive sooner or later with their own new cryptocurrency. Now, my question for you would be more about, let's talk about a few terms that I hear related to this world, and we'll try to translate in Italian. So, for example, the first one would be distributed data. What does it mean?
So the correct meaning is that we have no more a centralized database, mm-hmm. but we have a very small piece of data that are distributed among thousands, millions of nodes of people. Also, probably at this time, both me and Mattia are part of these nodes. If we use the central, and if we are using a wallet like MetaMask, we are part of the game. And this kind of decentralized data means also that no one will be able to collect all data in a single point and to read all data in a single point. That also means trust and security.
So is this the blockchain?
Yeah.
You said you actually described the blockchain. So this is all about, right?
This is the basic concept of the blockchain. The blockchain has something more, mm-hmm. But we can also design a decentralized system without a blockchain. It's okay. Called also distributed ledger technology, but is a very, very similar, like a general concept. Blockchains as a smart contract in the middle.
Okay, that would be the perfect second term. So yeah. This, I always hear about a smart contract. Can you explain to us?
Let's say that this is the action of writing something on the blockchain. Every time I decide to write something, I need an agreement between all the owners of the blockchain, And this is the smart contract. And when I have a smart contract, I can also pay something for this smart contract. That is something paid in a certain cryptocurrency. Okay. So smart contract is totally and double joined to the concept of a cryptocurrency.
Okay. Okay. In fact, and there's something that I didn't write, but was very popular too, is gas fee. That when you do these transactions, you need to pay the system. Let's put it this way, a fee, which is called gas fee. I heard this was more maybe related to Ethereum. I don't know the other cryptocurrencies. So you pay the system to create that transaction, right? So, and if there are many transactions in that particular time, you pay more. If there is more quiet and there's less transaction, you pay less. It really depends on the time you do the transaction. Is that correct?
Yeah, this is correct. And that's why every time we write something on a blockchain, we are consuming quite a lot of energy because we are asking to make cryptography, to make a lot of calculus, and you need computational power. And that's also the motivation of the name. Okay, the gas fee is totally related to the idea that we are consuming some gas for switching on our machine. And in a certain way, now we are discussing, and there are a lot of blockchains that are discussing a lot on the idea of becoming greener and greener in terms of environmental sustainability.
Yeah, because I think this is another big issue with this world. So there's a lot of people complaining that is not good for the environment because there's a lot of energy that you need to create and to maintain this blockchain. But I think, as you said, I think there's different technologies right now coming in to try to fight against this huge amount of energy consumed. Is that right?
This is totally right. And the word that is behind this is cryptography. So we are studying more and more efficient cryptography systems that are the operation that we use to put our data inside the blockchain in a total secure way. So no one else will read this kind of data. Mm-hmm. This is because of cryptography. But when we make cryptography, usually we have a lot of computational power in the middle. That's why now we are looking also in the research field for more efficient cryptography systems that are both secure, but with a lower computational time that is needed. That means also lower energy. Right. And that's why now you can find a lot of green blockchains that are appearing on the market to say, okay, we are consuming less energy than Bitcoin. This is for sure because Bitcoin was totally created on consuming energy, making unuseful calculus only to mine some new Bitcoin. I'm also less, more green than Ethereum. And that's why you have to choose me. Because again, this is a money market,
right?
Like dollars. With respect to euro. So we are finding and we are going to an open market on that.
All right. So you mentioned about the wallet as well. So the wallet is the place where we hold all our different cryptocurrencies that we need to buy on different markets. Let's put it this way. Yeah. You mentioned you are a professor and you mentioned about AI, so artificial intelligence. What do you mean exactly when we hear this term, artificial intelligence? So that means that the machines will get over us, or?
First of all, artificial intelligence is the way we use to give names to every algorithm that is doing something similar to humans. So when you think about images, we are totally able to recognize a cat or a dog in this image. Mm-hmm. When you want to teach the machine how to recognize a cat or a dog, you are using an artificial intelligence systems. And we will never, now we have no evidence that we will go over humans for A couple of reasons. Now, the only scientific artificial intelligence that we have is called the narrow artificial intelligence. That means that we are only able to do very, very small and precise tasks. And when we do this small and precise task, we are not able to make a generalization. So if we are able to learn cats and dogs, and then you ask me to learn about giraffes and elephants, I'm totally unable to make any kind of generalization. I have to start again from the beginning. So, and that's why we are safe. Okay.
So this is the artificial intelligence, and the process that you are giving more and more information to the machine is the machine learning, right?
Yeah, right. And usually this machine learning is based on a huge amount of data. And why that? Because the system to learn need a lot of examples. And that's also why we are now discussing a lot about the connection between machine learning and AI and blockchain. Because if you want that our algorithm will learn from data, you also want that no one have all the data to learn, but you want that everyone is sharing data, and sharing data is coming back again to the decentralized data. That's why there is a lot of research on the interconnection about between AI and deep learning and machine learning is also a way of democratization of the AI around the world.
Right. The last two. One is big data. When we talk about big data, what are we talking about?
So we are not talking only about big in terms of volume, but big means variety, velocity, a lot of different meanings. So when we talk about big data, we can also have a small amount of data, but very fast, or a small amount of data, but very different from each other. So big is much more than a big volume of data. So, for example, it's much bigger data coming from the meteo than all the pictures that we have together in all our laptops or mobile phone. Okay. So it's not about only megabytes, but it's about variety, velocity, and the concept that are saying that the data are, let's say, very different from each other and sometimes also very big in terms of volumes.
The last one is IoT. Internet of Things.
Yeah, and this is another nice technological convergence between IoT and blockchain. Why that? Because if we want, one of the use of the blockchain is to make trustable and the way food is produced. Okay, traceability is the correct term, as I think, in English.
Yeah.
And this traceability, if I am a human and I can write that this egg was born in the market region in the middle of the hills, I can say something that is totally fake. That's why we need sensors that are writing in the blockchain correct data. So just think about the temperature while you are making a logistic of the food. You are putting on a truck a lot of chocolate with a sensor that is measuring the temperature. The international laws say that you cannot go over 40 degrees because the food can have some problems also for the safety of humans. And you have sensors that are putting data directly on the blockchain. That's why we are mentioning IoT inside this discussion about metaverse. And also metaverse has a lot of to do in, will have a lot to do in the future with IoT, because probably we will have some special piece of our metaverse that is totally connected with the real data coming from the IoT. So the meteo, that there is a sunny day, we have 37 degree of temperature, and there is something that is moving like in the real world. It's the digital twin of my city. It's a digital twin of my company, of my machine. Is something that is totally similar to what is happening in the real world. And this is, again, a way of mixing real world and virtual world together.
That's great. That's great. Fantastic. What can I say? I can just say that's the reason why you are a professor, because you're able to explain very difficult topics in very simple words, and that's fantastic. As you are a professor in an Italian university, how those topics and how those new things coming, like metaverse, blockchain, Internet of Things, big data, and so forth, are explained to our students. If this world is coming, we need more and more people developing technologies into this field. We need more and more people programming, software developers. How are we standing as Italians right now in the education world?
Let's say, and thank you, Mattia, for this opportunity to discuss about this. Now we have a quite big problem with technological studies. So we have very few people coming out from computer science faculties, and there is a huge amount of companies. There is a huge amount of companies that are asking for this kind of digital skills, mm-hmm. and we are far from having a correct amount of people with a lot of digital skills. That's why we discuss a lot about digital humanities. That means that we need to have a more interdisciplinarity, to have more people that are discussing about law and digital contents, communication and digital contents, economy and digital contents. And we need to fight this battle in a very interdisciplinary way. That's why also we are designing new courses, designing new entire master degrees in the context of interdisciplinarity. We don't want only to have nerd people only able to design technology, but we want to have also people coming from other disciplines that are able to discuss about this, because we need to update the law, we need the new business models, we need a lot of communication, we need to use this for the learning process of the kids in the kinderland or somewhere else. And that's why also we are in two different universities. So I'm coming from a technological university, but now I'm also funding a digital humanities course in a more humanistic university like the University of Macerata, while I come and my lab is stay at the Marche Polytechnic University, that is a polytechnic university.
Can you give us three tips on how to improve English from your personal experience? You can decide if you want to give us those tips in English or in Italian. It's really up to you.
So I stay in English. I try to stay okay. in English also okay. to improve my English. So first of all, do a lot of conversation, like the one that I'm having with Mattia, because we have also to fight against a little bit of barrier, because sometimes we are not speaking English because we are not trusting on our ability to speak English. And you True. Need to speak more and more to trust a little bit more on you and on the ability to try to pass some message in English. The second message is stay abroad. I was during my PhD in the ETH and in the EPFL in Lausanne and in Zurich. Lausanne is French-based and Zurich is German-based, German language-based. And but we were using a lot of English, even if my English is not of a very nice quality. So I'm speaking in Italian English on that. Try to stay mainly for the young guys around with Erasmus projects, with a PhD going by from one university to another. Try to do everything you can do when you are young. And this is a nice tip. Last one is force yourself to look a lot of videos, TED speech, movies, series, whatever you want in the original language. Now it's very easier.
I think we can find even your speech as well, because you are a TEDx speaker,
yeah,
right?
You can search on TED on TED.com also for my speeches. And but mainly now it's easier. You switch your subtitles or you switch the language to the English. And this is something that I suggest also for our kids in our family. So we have to stay with them and to have a look to some nice movie. I started with the Peppa Pig. Peppa Pig in English is also in the normal...
I always recommend Peppa Pig. I always recommend Peppa Pig because it's a perfect English, perfect British English, but at the same time it's very...
Quite slow, yeah, so you can understand a little bit. And also you have every section of Peppa Pig in your memory in Italian, so it's very easy to understand.
It's true. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Professor. It was a pleasure to be with you. For me as well. It's not about perfect English. I don't speak perfect English. I don't have the chance to speak English all the time. I watch a few things in English, but sometimes as I have kids as well, Daddy, please, can we switch in Italian? It's difficult to understand, and it's hard. It's hard to, you know, to convince them as well to listen in English, movies and stuff. But I'm trying to do my best. So I'm not doing this because I think it's important to study the proper English. You need to have maybe, you know, a tutor or someone that will give you all the education on how to properly speak English and all the rules of the grammar and everything. But as you said, it's more about trying to speak as much as you can, trying to find the possibility to have a conversation with someone and push yourself. Because at the end of the day, the important thing is to have a relation and to be able to communicate with the whole world, which as English is a standard almost everywhere. So thank you very much, Professor, for your time. I just would like to remind to all my listeners that I'm trying now to get back on track with to be more consistent in posting new interviews and episodes on the podcast. So follow Praticamente Inglese. You can have all the updates almost everywhere on Facebook, on Instagram, we are almost everywhere, even though I'm not using so many social networks. So thank you very much, Professor, and I'll see you next time.
Thank you. Thank you, Mattia, and see you. I will follow also your podcast.
Thank you. Thank you, Professor.